Good morning. Ready to just march out of here, that song. Amen. Well, welcome. Glad you guys are here this morning. I want to give a special welcome out to everyone who's just arriving, who thinks they're early for church this morning. If you missed daylight savings time, you just walked in. It's actually 9:45, or 10:45 rather, not 9:45. But we're glad you're here now. So anyway, but I do have actually a really special announcement that I wanted to make. A few months back, this young couple walked in the doors of the church, and you know, we got to meet them and got to know them and everything. And talking about Gary and Jan Windyke, of course. And I wanted to officially announce Gary and Jan today are placing membership here in the Northwest Arkansas Church of Christ. I mean, they've already been part of the group for several months now, but if you haven't met them or if you haven't heard their story, make sure you get some time with them, get to know them. They go back a few years, right? Just a few. Five or six, maybe. But anyway, no, they were part of our sister church in New York and our sister church in Chicago. Gary's been an elder here at Flagstone Church of Christ in Northwest Arkansas. So just a great family. We're so glad you guys are here with us, and just look forward to many adventures in the future. Anyway, you know, it is March. We celebrated Manuary back in January. In February, we talked about it being Webuary, right? We're putting our presence on the internet, and now it's March. And so we're going to talk about March. We're marching, amen? We're moving forward. And how appropriate. Today is daylight savings time, as we talked about. We spring forward, right? There was an Indian chief, and they asked him his thoughts on daylight savings time. And this Indian chief, in all of his wisdom, he said, only the government would believe that you could cut a foot off the top of a blanket, sew it onto the bottom, and have a longer blanket. Think about it. It's kind of what we do. We take an hour, and we move it to the other side, and we say, now we have a longer day, and we could just get up earlier or go to bed later. But anyway, it is what it is, daylight savings time. But it is time to march forward. It is time, I believe, to engage in the spiritual battle like never before. There is too much at stake to not march. You know, Douglas talked about this, but we live in a world that's in crisis. We live in a world that spiritually is dead. A world that spiritually is decaying. It seems like every day it gets worse. I mean, I remember being a kid and, you know, there was always challenges, but it just seems like the world just goes further and further and further from the truth. But God's people have always been on the move. God's people, God's church needs to be on the move. We cannot rest on our laurels. You know what laurels, you ever heard that saying, can't rest on your laurels? Laurels were the wreath that they would get when they had a victory. And resting on your laurels means, man, we had this victory back in the day, and we're just going to be content with that. We're just going to rest on our laurels. You know, sometimes, I don't know if this is this way for you, but I know it is for me. Is, man, when I see God doing great things or there's just good things happening in my life, and we can get to a point where we say, okay, I'm good. I'm just going to coast now for a while. And I think even here in the church, the last few years, the last several years, have just been great. I mean, we've seen so many great things happening. And I think it would be really easy for us to feel like, hey, we're just going to coast for a while. We're just going to ride this wave. Instead of saying, no, man, we've been marching, and now it's time to march on. It's time to march even farther. We cannot rest on our laurels. When you stop marching, things go south, right? If you're not moving up, you're moving down. David was one of the mightiest warriors to ever live. King David. I mean, he slew Goliath. When everyone else shrunk back, David was the guy that said, I will go and I will fight. David, a man after God's own heart. And yet there was a time in David's life when, it says, all the other kings were off at war and David stayed at home. David decided one day, I'm not going to march. I've done a lot. Just want to rest a little bit. I'm not going to march. And And it was one of the worst decisions he ever made. He ended up falling into adultery with Bathsheba, another man's wife. And then, of course, he ended up killing her husband or having him killed to cover up his own sin. David decided not to march and paid the price. In the New Testament, Paul talks to the church in Thessalonica and he says, you know, some of you guys are busy. You're busy bodies. You're not busy. You're busy bodies. You're not really marching. Yeah, you got your hand in a bunch of things, but you're just busybodies, not really doing what you were created to do. He says in 2 Thessalonians 3:11, he says, you're idle and disruptive, busybodies, but not busy. You know, when we're not marching for God, we are much more susceptible to sin. We are much more susceptible to Satan's attacks when we are not on the attack in the spiritual battle. We were not meant to be sedentary. Even our physical bodies, we were meant to move. Our bodies were meant to march, meant to move. What happens when you sit in one place for too long? Your legs fall asleep. You ever get that? And then you wake up and you try to stand and you're like falling all over the place because your legs are asleep. You were there too long. If you lay in bed too long, you can get bed sores. You know, I've heard some just incredible, disgusting stories of people that were left for maybe months in a bed and even their skin just starts to like mesh with the bed. We were not meant to sit still. I had a friend that was a physical therapist and I had having some back challenges years ago and he said, motion is lotion. He's like, you got to move. You work in an office, you sit for too long, man, you get sore. You're in one place too long. You're just not meant to do that physically. Think about water. Man, I love water. Hot day, it's refreshing. Baptism, it's refreshing. Water is a great thing. But if you leave water just sitting for too long, it gets stagnant. Starts to stink. It's disgusting. Gets lukewarm. Gets a scum on top of it. You ever seen a river where there's like the river's flowing, but then there's this little pool over to the side where it's just stagnant water and there's this green film over the top and you step in the river and it's like, man, it's so cool and refreshing. And then you step into that lukewarm, just disgusting, stagnant mess. We were meant to march. We were meant to move. And the body of Christ, the church, must be on the move. We must never allow ourselves to become stagnant in the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So today we're talking about march. And we're going to look at one of the most famous marches in history. Turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua 6 and verse 1 says, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its kings, with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army, advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets. And the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpet. And the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded his army, "Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout." So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to the camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took the ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord, while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except on that day, they circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that are in it is devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies that we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." You know, here we see this epic story. Perhaps one of the most famous battles in history. There's songs written about it. Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho. And here we see in verse 2 what God told Joshua. He says, "I have delivered Jericho into your hands, its king and all its fighting men." You know, something we see here, God commanded Joshua to march, but God says, "I have already given the victory. I've already delivered them into your hands." Think about this in your life. As we talk about the spiritual battle, you know, each one of us have different things that we're going through. Each one of us in our families, in our marriages, with our kids, with our job situation, with our health situation, we all have different things that we're struggling with, right? There's people that we're trying to help. We're trying to reach out and pull them into the kingdom. God says, "I have already delivered it into your hands. I've already given you the victory." You know, great athletes, they will visualize the victory. Before they go into the Super Bowl or the World Series or something like that, these athletes, they actually have people that come in and get around them and help them visualize the victory. Do you visualize the victory? When you're going into a situation, you know, you're getting with your kids, or you're getting into some situation, and you're like, okay, God's already got this. God already has delivered the victory into my hands. You know, what did he tell them next? He says, "I've already given Jericho into your hands, and now march." He says, "March around the city once. The next day, march around the city again. The next day, march around the city again." 7 days, in fact, he tells him, march around the city. And on the seventh day, do it seven times. You know, what you think about this. Why, if God already gave him the victory, why would he have them march around the city? Good question, right? Why didn't they just go up? If God's already taken care of it, let's just go up and walk right in right now. But God says, no, you're going to march. You know, I think there's a couple reasons why God did that. Perhaps one reason is he wanted them to think about it. He wanted them to prepare and be ready and really be thinking about, man, what is God doing here? How is God going to work? Every day when they were marching, you gotta know, man, they were talking about it. They were thinking about it as they were marching. I think also God wanted to see their obedience. God wanted to see, hey, are you going to obey me, or are you just going to do your own thing? You know, sometimes in my life, I feel that. I know God has already delivered the victory. I know God's going to move and God's going to take care of things, but sometimes when I'm in those battles, I'm in those situations, you know, I don't always want to do it God's way. I want to take things into my own hands. I want to do it my own way. And God's saying, no, you got to listen to me. You got to be obedient. I think God wanted to see if they really believed him. I think God wanted to do it that way to show that he was in control. If they had just done it their own way, they could have said, man, look what we did. But when they followed God's plan, when they did exactly what God told them to do, and then when God said he would, he delivered the victory, it was clear. Man, the battle belongs to the Lord. God did it. In verses 15 and 16, it says, on the seventh day they got up at daybreak, marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except that on that day they circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army. It says they did this for 7 days. Can you imagine that? Like just 7 days. Every day you get up, you're marching. And you know, they were soldiers. They were ready for battle. But they don't want to march. They want to fight, right? They're ready. They're, come on. Let's get into it. Let's do this. And sometimes I wonder what they were thinking. I wonder, did they doubt? I think some probably did. Man, Joshua, why are we doing this? Why are we marching? Did they struggle to be obedient while they waited on God? Do you ever do that? You know God has good things in store for you, right? We talk about the promises of God, and God's got plans for you, and he's got hope and a future. And sometimes we struggle to wait on God. But I want it now, God. I want that spouse right now on my time frame. I want that job now. You know, I want this situation now. I want to graduate now. We want things on our time frame. I want my kids to obey now. That's okay to want that, right? That's a good one. But sometimes we got to be patient even with our kids. I love what one of the things John Mantle shared last week when he was doing our parenting workshop is their goal, and I feel this with our kids as well, their goal is in the end that their kids make it. And they may struggle. They may go through some things. We've prayed that prayer. We've prayed, God, at the end of our kids' life, if they can be faithful to you, then we've won. Sometimes I want it now. You know, you wonder when these guys were marching around, did they just want to rush in? You know, were there some guys that just started running and another guy pulled them back? No, man, wait. Come on, follow the plan. God's got this. You know, think about what situations in your life are you tempted to just rush in? You're tempted to just go for it when God's telling you, hey, you need to be patient. You need to wait on me. Need to do a little marching first and get ready. You know, you wonder also, what were the people inside Jericho thinking? You know, they're looking out, they see these guys marching around the first time, like, what are they doing? You know, normally they would just come in and attack and there'd be this battle, and I don't know. I mean, if I were in Jericho, I'm looking out, I'm thinking, man, these guys are knuckleheads. They're just walking around the city. Were they digging a moat? You know, I mean, they just keep going around. They were probably mocking them, laughing at them. Didn't make a lot of sense. You ever feel that way? You know, in your life, you're trying to follow God's plan. You're trying to do things God's way, and maybe people around you don't see what you're doing, and they mock you. What are you doing that for? Why are you living your life this way? Why don't you just take what you want? Why don't you just live however you feel rather than following the Bible, following God's commands? Man, it's so much easier. Just do it your own way. I'm sure they felt that. I'm sure they felt at times, man, God's plan is not the way I would do it all the time. And people mock them around. Think about this. What if they would have quit marching? You ever get tempted to quit? I have. I quit one time for a while. I just thought, you know what? I don't want to do this. And I quit. But sometimes I think, man, it's hard marching. You know, it's hard living your life for God. you see people around you, again, just doing what they want to do, living how they want to live, you know, and while it might look good, it's not. Because you know what God has in store for you. But you think about it, what if they would have quit marching? You think God would have given them the victory? I don't. I think God would have said, hey, you didn't follow my commands. You didn't do what I told you to, so now you're going to suffer the consequences. And again, I say, what about us? You know, when we're tempted to quit, I bet on the seventh day, on that seventh time around, I don't know how big the city was. I'm sure we could look it up. I don't know offhand, but I'm sure on the seventh time around Jericho, on the seventh day, there were people that were tired. They didn't have good shoes. They didn't have Nikes or good boots or anything like that, you know, so their feet were probably blistered, and man, they, I don't know if they had enough food. I don't know, but they were marching. And I think sometimes for us, man, we just got to keep on marching. And we get tired, and we get blisters, we get sore marching for God. It's uncomfortable. Sometimes we're in the heat. We must keep marching. God says, I've already given you the victory. Do you believe that? Right now, do you believe, man, God's already won? All I got to do is march until he says, hey, now it's time. Now it's time to go on in. Do you really believe that? You know, sometimes when I know that somebody else is in charge and all I got to do is just follow the plan and everything's going to happen, it's kind of easy. It's kind of like comforting, right? It's just like, okay, like when you're a kid, you know, and you're going with your parents and dad's got it, you know, and you just follow behind. You know, like a duck with baby ducks, you know, they just follow the mama and they go on in. And I think we got to have that attitude with God sometimes. Sometimes we want to be in control. We want to take charge, do it our way. And we just got to say, hey, let me just get in line. Let me just march where I'm supposed to go. And it's going to be okay. In verse 17, it says that everything that all the spoils were devoted to the Lord. Says everything was for God's glory. You know, do you view your life that way? The blessings that God gives you, the victories that God gives you, do you view that, man, this is devoted to God? It's not mine. It's not ours. We get to enjoy it, but it's God's. You know, sometimes I think we get a little possessive with the victories that God gives us and the spoils of the victory. You know, with our talents and our abilities. Well, I can do this, and I can do this. And we start doing things for ourselves instead of saying, man, God gave me this. This is all for him. Everything I have, everything I am, needs to be devoted to God. And as soon as we start getting possessive, oh, I want this. Ooh, I want this. We start taking things for ourselves that should be devoted to God. Even this morning, we gave an offering. Was that hard? Sometimes it is, right? I mean, bills are due. There's things going on. But was it hard, or was it like, you know what? It's God's. Just give it to him. He just asked for a little. Man, just give it. Everything was devoted to God. Let's see what happens next. Look in verse 20. Says, when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it. Men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, go into the prostitute's house and bring her out with all who belong to her, in accordance with your oath to her. So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother, her brothers and sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Rahab had helped them out. Rahab had hidden the spies when they came in initially, and so they made a deal with her. Hey, you help us out, we're going to spare you. That's what was going on there. Verse 24. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it. But they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. She's still there. She's really old, but still. Verse 26. At that time, Joshua pronounced this solemn oath. Cursed before the Lord is the one who undertakes to rebuild the city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son will he lay its foundations. At the cost of his youngest will he set up its gates. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. It says the Lord was with Joshua. Don't you want that to be said about you? Man, the Lord was with Jan. The Lord was with Leah. Man, I would love to read that in the Bible. Man, the Lord was with me? The Lord is with me? He says, yes, when you obey God, when you serve God, when you devote yourself to Him, it says, the Lord is with you. You know, he also, this little thing we see at the end, Joshua pronounces this oath that curse before the Lord is the one who attempts to rebuild that city. And, you know, I think that's important as well, because I know sometimes God gives us victories and God moves in our lives and God brings us out of the darkness. And then sometimes we get tempted to rebuild the old city, right? To kind of return to the old life. You ever feel that? Man, it looks good over there. You know, I'm sure that he put that in there for a reason. I'm sure there were people at some point that thought, man, what about, we can go back to Jericho. We can rebuild this. God says, no, don't rebuild the old city. Joshua obeyed God. It says the Lord was with Joshua. You know, we talk a lot about our walk with God, right? You hear people say that. How's your walk with God? I want to talk about our march with God. How's your march with God going? I like walking, but man, we need to be marching with God as well, right? Are you marching with and for God? Are you on the move for God? When you hear about needs or opportunities to serve, are you like, man, I'm ready to march. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's get it done. Or do you think of how great it would be if someone else did that for God? Man, I really hope Jim does that. You know? Man, Jim's really good at that. He should do it. Or do you march? Do you say, man, let me lead the charge? How's your march with God going? When you come up against walls in life, do you march? You know, there are legitimate walls that we come up against. Sometimes they're emotional walls. Sometimes they're physical walls, sometimes spiritual. You know, they're all different kind of walls that we come up against. Do you march for God? Are you currently marching for God? Or are you resting on your laurels from the past? You know, think about that. If somebody looked at your life, and they looked at what you do and how you live and the things you say and, you know, the things that you think about and all just every aspect of your life, would they say, that man or that woman is marching for God? They see it. They're like, man, they're on the move. There's something different about that. You want to lift up a few people that I just see this in. I think about the Purdues. They're not here today. They're out of town. But, you know, there was a need. We've been talking about it for a while. There's this need to have youth and family ministry here in the church. And we have so many kids that are growing up. And we're like, man, we really want to make this a focus in the church is to really reach our kids. And the Purdues said, hey, we will do it. We'll march. What do we need to do? And it wasn't just like, you know, they'll just do whatever we ask them to do. As soon as I kind of like put it in their hands, they're like, okay, we're planning this and we're going to do this. And man, they just got into it. Last weekend, they went out with the Mantles, picked their brain. Hey, what do you guys, what can we learn from you? What can we do? How can we do this youth and family? And of course, Doug grew up in the church, and they've been in youth and family before, but they were just ready to lead the charge in March. Yeah, I think about our AV crew. Brandon and Anna and Carlos and Crystal. I mean, these guys, every week, they're here. They come early. They get all this done, and there's always glitches, so they're back there trying to, you know, whenever there's a glitch, they're figuring it out. And, I mean, it's gotten so much better, you know. I used to do the PowerPoint stuff. I don't do it anymore because it's way better now, right? But they're just like, hey, that we'll march. We'll march around that wall. We'll take care of that. What are you marching around? You know, next week, after church, we're going to have a thing we call our ministry fair. And we did this a couple years ago, and it was great. What we did is we had this fair, and I say a fair, there's no rides, okay? Don't get your hopes up on that. And maybe we'll come up with a ride. But what it is we have different tables set up in the foyer and outside, and different ministries in the church give you the opportunity to serve. And our goal, you know, that says in the body of Christ, each part must do its work for the body to be built up, right? And our goal is for every single person in the church, every part of the body, to have a role, to have something that you're marching for, something that you're doing. And so the ministry fair, it's an opportunity for you to get involved. And some of you guys are already involved, and don't feel, if you're already doing five things, don't feel like, oh, I got to sign up for three more. Don't do that. But I want to make sure that all of us have the opportunity to march and use the gifts that God has given us for Him. You know, God has given you something. God has given you gifts that you can now use for Him. So let me just tell you some of the ministries that we're going to have set up in the ministry fair. And you can be thinking about this. You can be praying about it. And we'll talk more about it next Sunday. And then after church, you'll have an opportunity to get involved, to join a march and get involved. One of the things that we do, one of the ministries that we have, is our ushering team. Ushering and hospitality. They serve the communion. They bring the trays for the offering. We've got the greeters out at the door. Maybe that's something that you could do. Maybe you're like, I can pass a tray. Man, I could stand at the door and give hugs and just say, hey, when people come in. I could do that. I could be on the ushering team. Or we also have the housekeeping team. You know, if you look around you, it's pretty clean in here, right? I mean, you don't see, like, just trash everywhere and stuff all over the place. And our housekeeping team does an amazing job every week. They just make sure that the building is taken care of. You could be on the housekeeping team. We have a groundskeeping and maintenance team. Cut the grass, you know, work on the flower beds or whatever the outdoor stuff is, or the doors. You know, Jim was fixing a squeaky drum pedal this morning. You know, we have that that groundskeeping and maintenance team that we need people to march in. A new team that we're going to be starting up is an outreach team. This team, they're going to be in charge or help to put together invitations, do outreach events in the church, help plan special services. Like we had our celebration service last fall. They'll help plan things like that. We want to get a welcome table out here to where when people come in, there's just information about the church that we can connect with them even better than what we're doing at the current time. We want to have response cards that if somebody comes in and they felt moved by the sermon, or they want to reach out to be in Bible studies or be in a small group, like we have a card that they can write their name on. And we want to meet them personally, but sometimes maybe people, you know, aren't as open to meeting personally, but they'll fill out a card. And then we can connect with them. So the outreach team will come together and help to put some of those things together in the church. Maybe you can serve on the worship team. Singers, musicians, actors, when we do plays and special things like that. The media team. The guys back here in the AV booth, we actually want to put together what we call a media team, where we do videos to have on our Facebook page and our website, our outreach through Facebook and Instagram. One of the big things we want to do, we've got translation equipment to where if I'm doing the sermon or say Boo's doing the sermon and I could speak Spanish, if I could speak Spanish, and the other people that don't speak English can listen and hear the sermon in Spanish. So we have the equipment to do that. We just need to get it up and running. So that's part of our media team, is going to get our Spanish translation going here soon. Amen? Perhaps you could serve in Kids Kingdom. Our kids right now, your kids, if you have kids here, grandkids here, they are being taught about God. They are singing songs together. They are having fun together and growing up learning about God. And we need many people to make that happen every Sunday. So you can serve out. I do want to encourage, if you're a parent, please sign up at least for one or two rotations a year. And maybe you're like, oh, that's not my best gift. Well, you're a parent, so it is your gift in a sense, right? God gave you that precious little gift that somebody's going to take care of them during service, and so you can help do that as well. So we really do want all parents to be involved in Kids Kingdom, amen? We're starting up a mentor program. So for our preteens and teens, they also need adults in their lives. You know, sometimes I can say something to my son, and he can, you know, he'll understand, he'll respond a certain way. Jim says the same thing, and Joshua's like, wow, that was amazing, you know, and I'm like, our kids need other people in their lives as well, amen? Another thing we're starting up is we want to have a hope chapter here. We support Hope Worldwide around the world and doing special projects. There's free hospitals in places in the world and orphanages and AIDS clinics, and we want to have a local project right here. So if you're interested in that, just doing benevolent work in the community, sign up for the Hope Ministry, amen? And then we're going to have an other sign up, and we're just going to say other. And if you have some other gift or some other thing that you're passionate about, I'm not saying we're just going to do whatever, but we want to know. We want to know. Maybe you have some unique gift that we're not thinking of that you can use for God. What's that? Movie. That's not going to do that one. But we'll have an other that you can sign up, and we can see what gifts are out there. But brothers and sisters, it is time to march. This week, I'm going to pray around our city. I'm not going to march because it's way too far around Northwest Arkansas, but I'm going to drive. That's the new marching, right? Driving. I'm going to drive all around Northwest Arkansas, and I'm going to map out a route, and I'm going to pray around our city. And I want to encourage you this week, you do your march. You march. Walk around your home and pray. Walk around your neighborhood and pray. Walk down your street. Walk around your part of town. Walk around your job and pray. And let's watch God start bringing down walls in our community. I want to ask you to join me. Join with me this week in marching. Pray to God for miracles. Pray to God for the lost. Pray to God for our city. Pray on your way to work. Pray everywhere you go. March for God this week. Amen? You know, God told Joshua, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its fighting men. And brothers and sisters, I believe God has many victories that he's already given us and delivered into our hands. He's done his part. Now our job is to march. God will give us every place we set our feet, and to him be the glory. Amen. Thank you. Amen.